Praise the Lord. The title of this tape is How to Become the Wisdom of God. This is the first series of two messages. It's designed to teach you the mechanics, the methods, the ways of developing your human spirit senses, whereby you may hear God's voice and see what God is doing. Like John 5:19, the Son can do nothing of himself except he sees what the Father is doing. May God bless this word to you. Before you can do anything, before you can become spiritual, it's imperative that you develop a firm, solid foundation through the Scriptures. Now I ask you, how do you begin to do this? You must be motivated, self-motivated, to take an initiative to establish a daily habitual consistency in studying the Word. Now, I don't mean just reading it. You need to learn how to study the Word. It's beneficial that you memorize many scriptures of certain theme subjects. Another practice that you need to initiate is what I call practicing the presence of the Lord. And that's the theme foundation of all my teachings so that you can really develop a walk in the Spirit. Practicing His presence is contemplation, meditation upon Him, whereby He quickens His word, His rhema word within your spirit. You must learn how to meditate whereby your mind is not dominating over your spirit or imprisoning your spirit. Meditation is where you are repetitiously rehearsing the Word of God while focused upon Jesus Christ. It's written that if we will learn how to abide in Him and learn how to let His Word abide or have supremacy in our spirit over our mind in us, we shall speak as we will, decree as we will, and the connotation is the answer shall leap into existence immediately. This activity of meditation and contemplation that I'm talking about, you will have to make a decision to really have some undivided, undistracted time to give Him that attention and that focus. You will have to separate yourself from your busy day and busy demands and shut yourself in with God. And shutting yourself in with God is merely a focused concentration that is fixed and locked upon Him that permits no rabbit tracking or distractions of your mind. This is not a passive state of your spirit or your mind. This is an aggressive focus, but your body is relaxed. It's necessary for you to learn how to walk in the Spirit without exercising or activating your physical strength and muscles and tensions. As you rehearse the Scriptures while focused upon Him, you go over it and over it again until all of a sudden it goes deeper than your conscious mind. It even goes into your subconscious and deeper than that into your heart. And then the Holy Spirit within your spirit quickens it and causes it to become rhema, which gives you faith, the substance of faith that is His faith. He conveys it in the form of wisdom. Wisdom is the who, it is the how, when, and why to make the who, what, and where of divine knowledge work with supernatural results. It's only in the Spirit where the Word gets deeper than your mind, in your spirit, whereby the Word that you're meditating upon becomes alive, becomes filled with faith, becomes supernaturally creative. The problem is most believers are not dedicated to give undistracted attention, quality time to being focused upon God. They'll come to church, they'll listen to the preacher, they'll get excited in their mind and their emotions about what is said. Then they walk out of the church and they never give that word that has been spoken to them another moment's attention or meditation whereby it can go deeper into them so that the Holy Spirit can form the substance of the thing that has been said within their experience, whereby it becomes the experience of Jesus Christ Himself in you. People of God need to sleep with a recorder going, with preaching and teaching that teaches them how to make the knowledge of God work. Almost all preaching, barring none, only teaches them what to believe, but does not teach them how to relate to God, how to walk with God, how to get in the Spirit, whereby the knowledge that they're to believe is to become mixed with faith, mixed with wisdom on how to make it work. I've learned something just by chance. I never really allow myself to read the Bible, but I let it talk to my heart. I get quiet before the Lord, focused upon Him through an activity of worship, and then I open the Scriptures, and I let the Word talk to my heart instead of my head. That way I can respond to it exactly as though if Jesus Christ was literally standing in front of me. But I want you to understand this. He is in you. This is a mystery, but it's Christ Jesus in you. It's written that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, but He's in your spirit, and He does not convey Himself to your mind. He only conveys or quickens Himself within your spirit. And unless you develop your spiritual ears to hear, you will not be able to hear His voice. John 10:27 said, "My sheep know My voice." Now that's something greater than impressions. That's a voice that talks deeper within you than your mind. I've had thousands of people come to me and say, "Brother Cronquist, I don't get much out of the Scriptures." And I can understand that, because they are mind dominant. They haven't learned how to get their mind silent and quiet before God so that the Holy Spirit can begin to speak within their spirits. They force their mind to function. When the Scripture says the natural man, the word natural is the mind-dominating man, cannot receive the things of God. Neither can they know Him, because they're only spirit ascertained, spirit discerned, spirit realized, spirit created, spirit made aware. You must develop your spiritual senses. In Hebrews 5:14, it says, "Strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, who by reason of use have their senses trained to discern between good and evil, or to discern between the spirit of error and the spirit of truth." Now, it said about by reason of use, the use of your spiritual senses, not your mental or physical senses. And the King James says, "who because of practice have their senses trained," is something that you have to do. You have to learn how to do this in union with God's Holy Spirit in the Spirit, in your spirit, so that your spiritual senses can develop and have predominance in your life, so that you can be led perfectly by the Spirit and have no failures in your walk with God. I don't focus upon the Word as I read it and study it with my mind, but I focus upon Jesus Christ through the Word, if you can imagine what I'm saying, as though He's standing behind those letters talking to me, and it really becomes real and alive to me. That way I can have a personal intimacy with Him. When I'm reading the Word, I'm not permitting my eyes, physical senses, to dominate, or my psychic, mental senses to dominate, but I bring my body and my mind into subjection. It's written, bringing every thought into captivity. That means that you bring into captivity, into aggressive inactivity, the functions of your own mind while you're focused upon Jesus Christ, upon the Word, listening from your inner man to hear what the Spirit is saying. I literally will to draw Jesus Christ's voice to me out of that word. And when I'm not reading the word, I do the same thing in my action of practicing his presence while focused upon him. I literally draw from my inner man the very life, the very word, the very voice of Jesus Christ. When you learn this, you can turn any place in the scriptures that you want, and those scriptures will literally be alive for you. They'll be quickened, and they'll be added to, and more understanding will ever increase through those scriptures as you learn to read them in a meditative action and a contemplative work. I want you to hear this. Stop reading the Bible. I want you to learn how to let it talk to you, to learn how to let his voice talk to you through the words that your eyes are looking at. Stop forcing your mind to dominate, to concentrate. Learn how to let it relax in submission to his lordship, to his person, to his presence. Physically relax. Imagine that the author, Jesus Christ, is talking to you as though you were the only person in the world. It's written, look away unto Jesus who authors and finishes faith. Now, this is not a mental belief or a mental exercise. This is an ability of the exercising of your spiritual senses. Now, I want to ask you again, what is God's wisdom? What will it do for you? Is it different from God's knowledge? Yes, but it's very difficult to separate them when God quickens himself in your spirit. The knowledge of God is who, what, and where of persons, places, or things of the past, present, and future. The wisdom of God is this, the how, the why, and the when to apply actions of faith and understanding to the knowledge of God, whereby we have a divine deposit within our experience or a divine result in our actions of faith. It is written in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and the redemption experience of God. In 1 Corinthians 12:8, it's written, for to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there are 3 that are revelation gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Now we're majoring in wisdom here today. I want you to understand, God does not quicken or convey his thinking within or to your mind. He quickens and his word and his thoughts only within your spirit. But if your spirit is imprisoned within your soul, within your mind, and your mind is dominating, your mind will play or usurp the place of God, but you will not have perfect results. The greatest problem that Christians face today is coming to the realization of how much their minds dominate their lives, imprisoning their spirit, and how much their subconscious mind is unsanctified, filled with all manner of deceptions and delusions and evasions and lack of proper commitment to God so that their spirit can rule, so that they can walk and live in the spirit. For it's written in the scriptures, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever will I set aside. Isaiah 55 says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. Even though your mind is thinking the thoughts of God, that is not God's thoughts. That's your thoughts, which are identical to his. But when he is alive and functioning and operative within your spirit, he thinks or makes alive his own thoughts within your inner man, not your mind man. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. 1 Corinthians 3:18 reads this way, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become foolish that he may become wise. Do you know how Do you know what to do and how to do it so that you may become foolish, so that the wisdom, the wiseness of God may be your creative living ability? 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, the last part of verse 1, it says, "We know that we all have knowledge, but knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he is not yet known as he ought to know." All of the problems and all of the division that exists in the body of Christ over doctrine, over revelation, over understanding, is because it is absolute evidence that their mind is ruling, and they think that they have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is not divided and doesn't create division. The mind of Christ creates the abilities of God within your life. I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. "But the natural man," the word natural, psychikos, it means the man who dominates his life by his mind, "does not accept, cannot receive, will not experience the things of the Spirit of God. For they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, neither can he understand them or experience them, because they are spiritually appraised, discerned, ascertained, realized, created." They are spirit created. "But he who is spiritual appraises, understands, has insight into all things. Yet he himself is a mystery. No one can get any insight into him. Man shall not live by bread alone, but he shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now that word that you live by is not and cannot be creative that is in your mind and in your memories. Only the rhema word, the living word, the creative word, the faith substance word that is in your spirit can give you faith substance and faith experience. It's fine to have the scriptures in your memory banks, but if you never learn how to let it come out of your memory banks and go through your subconscious into your heart, where the Holy Spirit quickens it and causes it to become rhema, you will never have supernatural faith. You'll have presumptuous faith. Whether the word that you are meditating upon is for leading or guiding or for healing or for some blessing or some ability or some result from God, it will never be creative until first it is quickened in your inner man. I want you to understand. The rhema word is a word that is directly originated from God within your spirit, through your heart, into your mind. And then as you think, speak, or act upon it, you will have supernatural faith substance results. I want to say this again. Learn how to meditate and to contemplate. Learn how to keep mumbling the word until it goes deeper than your conscious surface mind, into your subconscious and into your heart, so that God can quicken it. Learn or be dedicated to take time to practice this activity. I want to go back to Proverbs, the second chapter. It's verse 1. "My son, if you will receive my sayings, if you will treasure my commandments within your inner man, if you will learn to develop your spiritual ears, to be attentive to wisdom, if you'll incline your heart to understanding, for if you cry for discernment, and if you lift your voice for understanding, if you seek for her as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord, and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice, and equity in every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of all evil." Now, you can't beat scriptures like that. But believing them is not enough. You must learn how to make them work. And they will not work because you confess them out of your mind. They will only work because you confess them as they have been quickened by God's Holy Spirit in your inner man, your spirit, through your heart, into your mind. then you will find supernatural, divine results in all things. May I counsel you at this time to get a hold of as many messages as you can on my tapes, by which I'm teaching the abilities or the way that you learn to develop the functions of your human spirit senses, whereby you may live and walk in the Spirit. Now I want to give you another scripture in Matthew 6:6. But if you, when you pray, go into your inner room. What in the world is your inner room? That inner room is your inner man, your spirit. And when you've shut the door, after you've went in there, pray to the Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Do you know what to do that? Do you know how to do the what you have to do? Come on, beloved. If you don't learn this working activity, this action and ability of spirit, if you don't know how to get in your spirit, if you don't know how to lock your own mind out from having dominance, you'll never have absolute perfect communion and fellowship. You'll never really be led by the Holy Spirit. You'll never receive the promises. You'll have to die in faith without receiving the promises. But God wants you to learn to live and walk in the Spirit. He wants you to become the wisdom of God. You cannot become the wisdom of God by learning Scripture. You can only become the wisdom of God by developing an intimacy with Jesus Christ, by practicing His presence, by meditating and focused upon Him aggressively in the Spirit, whereby your mind is not rabbit-tracking, whereby you have brought your thinking abilities and originations into captivity and aggressive inactivity. And I don't mean passive, because if you're passive in doing this, then you're going to open yourself up to the world of spirits around us, and the prince of the power there are going to make sure that you become demon-oppressed. This is grow-up time. This is no game. But if you mean business, if you really approach God with an honest heart to learn this, the Holy Spirit will teach you these things, because it's written the Holy Spirit is given to teach us all things, to guide us into all truth. And it is written that you shall know the truth. You shall experience the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This word know the truth is genosko. It's an intuitive, conscious awareness of God Himself. It's experiencing truth in your understanding and the absolute. It's eternally progressive and unending, but it is not obtained by intellectual activity. And the truth shall make you free. This word make is eleuthero. It means if you really know the truth, if you get in the Spirit, if you will practice the things that I'm saying to you, if you will learn to abide in Him, if you will learn to allow the Word to abide or have supremacy in your spirit, it will liberate you or exempt you from mortality or from any mortal liability. Now that's a phenomenal truth that the body of Christ don't know anything about. The people of God cannot imagine how marvelous it is to walk in the Spirit. They're constantly feeding their mind and their emotions on things of this world, on relationships of each other, even going to church and things like this, but that still misses an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's only when you have an intimacy with Him in the Spirit does He become the wisdom of Himself within your life. Then you will find the ability of Jesus Christ will perform the knowledge of the Word that you understand with perfect supernatural ability. And you will have no failures. More than this, you will have no needs, because all of the provision of all the promises will automatically become your experience as it is quickened in you and made alive in you, and faith, His faith, will be your portion. I think it's necessary here that I make this kind of remark. It's not easy to change information one has heart believed in biblical doctrine, or improper attitudes and motives and relationships when it comes to God. The mind of man secretly assumes that it is complete on many things or all things. all the division in the body of Christ is because the ones that are constantly dividing presume or assume that the way they think, the way they understand, is more correct and more pure and more true than anybody else. And if you don't believe like them and think like them and go along with them, then they divide from you or they separate you from you. This is carnality. This is Satan just stands back and has a great heyday. All this sectarianism in the body of Christ has got to cease. Often, the revelation workings of the Holy Spirit are leavened with error or distortions in your mind and in your thinking because of a strong, active imagination that dominates over their spirit. It's written in 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth. That's what the body of Christ is doing. They're ever learning about God, but they are not experiencing Him. He has designed that He is to become Himself experienced within your experience. He's designed to inhabit your spirit, soul, and body. Romans 1:21 reads, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." Now, I want you to understand, when you become the wisdom of God, you will be foolish to the world, but you'll be supernaturally capable to perform the works of Jesus Christ, both in character and in ability with power. In order for you to live and walk, see and hear, speak and work in the Spirit, it'll be necessary for you to be dedicated and disciplined to cultivate an intimate personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. You'll have to separate your spiritual faculties from your mind faculties, identifying your spirit senses and faculties as something different than, other than, more than, independent of your mind. And then you'll have to learn how to practice with these senses and exercise them. John 3:13 says, "And no one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven, or who is in the Spirit, because heaven is the realm or the state of spirit." Here he was on the earth, living in heaven, or living in spirit. Now this is a conscious awareness and ability of a relationship with God's Spirit. Hallelujah. John 5:19 says, "The Son can do nothing of Himself except that He sees what the Father is doing." Unless you develop this ability to see what the Father is doing, you're not going to be able to do anything either. John 5:30 reads this way, "I am able to do nothing that has its originations of my mind. But as I hear His voice, I make a judgment, and my judgment is right or just, because I have not consulted my own mind, my own intellect, or reasons. But my purpose, my determined aim, is to do only the will of the Father and to please Him." Hallelujah. And I've already quoted to you several times Galatians 5, verse 25 and verse 16. "If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit." Verse 16, "If we live in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh." The desires of the flesh is all of the cravings of your mind and your emotions from any source on the outside of your body or inside of your mind that does not have its origins from God within your spirit. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits is God's intelligence in part from His vast storehouse of omniscience. 1 Corinthians 13:9-10 reads this way, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, when the teleos comes, the partial will be done away with." Well, Jesus Christ is the teleos. He is the perfect. And that perfect ability is within your spirit. You need to learn, again, you need to learn how to subordinate or captivate or inactivate the originations and the powers and the dominance of your own mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5, bringing every thought into captivity. This mind of Christ and its workings resides wholly within and in control of the Holy Spirit's initiative. God's intelligence is not natural intelligence. God's thoughts are not natural thoughts. Also, it does not become inherent within us at our new birth, neither at the receiving of the Holy Spirit. The initiative, the imparted release, the supernatural ability is all at the Father's timing and commissioning. His intelligence cannot be stored up within our memory banks. Neither does God's intelligence operate at your will, but at His will. It's an appropriated and an acquired wisdom and acquired intelligence at the moment there is need. You, the believer, have the responsibility to activate with expectancy of faith the work of co-uniting, the work of blending or diffusing your spirit with God's omnipresence and the Holy Spirit within your inner man. What He quickens within your spirit is conveyed through your heart, into your mind, to be executed and worked through your lips and your body in obedience. The intuitive faculty of your human spirit learns to hear His voice, learns to see what He is doing through the Spirit. Again, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. In John 10:4, it's written, when He puts forth all His own, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. Verse 16 reads, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. All this division in the body of Christ over doctrine and over revelation is all evidence of the carnal mind, the natural mind in dominance. The mind of Christ is not divided. When people have the mind of Christ, they will think and understand and know and be able to function with character and ability like Jesus Christ. John 6:40 reads this way, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son, everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Now, this is much deeper than imagination or mental consent. This is only an ability of your human spirit, the eyes of your spirit, to be able to see Jesus through the Spirit. Everyone who beholds the Son, I myself will raise him up in the last day. Is it not written in 1 John 3:2, does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, that when He does appear to you, we shall see Him as He is, and we shall be as He is. The only way that you're going to be as He is while alive is to develop an ability with your spiritual senses to see Him as He is. Then supernaturally and automatically, He Himself makes you what He is as Himself. And this word last day is a very bad English word because the Greek word is hemera. And hemera means this. It's an undefined length or period of time that is conditional upon a person's choice. Well, let's read it this way. This is the will of the Father, that everyone who learns or who develops an ability to see the Son, I will raise him up on the day that he chooses. And you can choose that today if you will learn to develop your spiritual senses and spiritual abilities to see his person and to hear his voice in the Spirit. I cannot emphasize enough the peril, the strengths and dominance, the deceiving tricks of your natural mind and its imaginations that are not sanctified or literally renewed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus appeared to me here in the recent past, and he said, the renewing of your mind is not your work, but it's mine. Then he made a profound statement. He said, but abide in my presence so that I may work. So all your learning of the Scriptures, all your studying of the Scriptures with your mind dominance is not going to ever be able to renew your mind. It's only as you practice His presence, and you practice His presence by a contemplative, meditative, directed, fixed, locked, penetrating focus upon Him, bringing all your thoughts into captivity, all your thoughts into an aggressive inactivity, where you are not permitting your functions of your mind to work yourself, but where they're submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to His presence, to His person, then He will quicken His words and form His words within your mind, and only then will your mind be renewed. And when your mind is renewed, you will have the abilities of Jesus Christ Himself. In self-deceit, a Christian-dominating mind assumes, presumes, and usurps the place of God as though it is God. It's constantly saying, God told me, believing that it really was God, but nothing supernatural happens in the way of what God has said. The test of God speaking is this: there is always divine results, a divine deposit, both in your experience and in the results unto others, happening from what He has said in your inner man. God speaking to you is always a faith-creative word. And when God is in ruling, God in, and then the Lordship of Jesus Christ is in control, there is always a genuine fruit of the Spirit manifesting along with the power effect. Hallelujah. I want you to understand, you can have all the gifts functioning, but if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit dominating in this functioning, it amounts to absolute zero. And you cannot know a fruit of the Spirit by human intelligence or reasoning. You can only know the fruit of the Spirit by discerning of spirits. Because false ministries and false prophets shall come clothed in sheep's clothing, but they're filled full of deceit. They'll become speaking the most dangerous ministries in these hours ahead will be ministries that are speaking the truths of God, that appeal to your reason, that appeal to your emotion, and yet they are perverse and corrupt in their spirit themselves. And you cannot know that by intelligence. I want to say this. False prophets are not discerned or not understood, not perceived, not comprehended by mind ability. They are not known or recognized by the things that they say, but only by what they are within their spirit. Can the fruit of the Spirit be counterfeited? Let's read Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. But you shall know them by your fruits, or by their fruits. I want to say it again. You cannot know them by human intelligence, only by divine intelligence, which is the gift of revelation intelligence, discerning of spirits. How will you be able to discern the difference? Only by an ability of your spirit ruling and reigning, commingling and being incarnated and quickened by the Holy Spirit in your inner man, by which He Himself, the Holy Spirit, functions with an intelligence of discerning ability that only He Himself knows. But He does not do this in your mind. He does this within your spirit. It's imperative that you learn to divide your spirit from your mind. When you look at ministries, or when you are listening or observing or associating or being exposed to ministries, I want you to ask this question. Is there humiliation? Is there brokenness of spirit? Is there sweetness of life in relationships outside of the limelight, outside of the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Unperceived pride can be present in such a deceiving illusion and be so convincing to the non-spiritual, the non-discerning person. The most difficult people to discern what's in their spirit are those that are speaking truths of God, but are perverse in their spirit. For example, in Acts 16, verse 16, it reads, "And it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl, having a spirit of divination, met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, 'These men are bondservants of the Most High, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation.'" Now, I want you to understand now, this young lady was proclaiming truth, but truth was having its origins from divination spirits, which are demons. And she continued doing this for many days. Because she was speaking the truths of God, Paul was probably discerning or looking for discernment from God for several days before he actually realized that the truths that he was speaking was having its origins in demons. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And it came out of that very moment. Now, do you understand something? The body of Christ is full of ministries with this kind of corruptions within their spirit. But the body of Christ in general, even ministries in general, are so undiscerning that they cannot discern the corruptions of spirit within people that are speaking truths of God. I want you to say this again. A false ministry or a false Christian is not known by the truths that they speak, but by what they are within their spirit. It's the 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, the last part of the scripture talks about these kind of people, so that he or she takes their seat in the temple of God, displaying themselves as being God. They are corrupt in their spirit, making them antichrist in their spirit, but their mouths are speaking the truths of God. And Jesus taught in Luke 9, verse 23, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself. Now, himself is his soul life. His soul life is mind and emotional and will life. And take up his cross daily and follow after me. Now, this has to be a daily application, a daily training, a daily exercise, a daily practice of denying your mind emotional life to have dominance while focused upon Jesus, so that he can become the dominant one, not only in your spirit, but in your mind and its faculties. Verse 24, for whoever wishes to save his psuche, his soul life, shall lose it. But whoever wishes to lose his soul life for my sake, he is the one that will save it. Hallelujah. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, I want you to understand this. The renewing of your mind is not a learned activity. The renewing of your mind is an imparted creative ability of Jesus Christ himself only when you have submitted your mind to silence, to inactivity, or to captivity. Then Jesus forms the substance of his own mind where your mind has been made subordinate to his lordship, to his presence, to the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 23 says that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I want to say again, the renewing of your mind is not a learned, educated response or action by you, but it is a created, imparted, formed response of Jesus Christ only when you brought your thoughts into captivity. 1 John 4 says, beloved, verse 1, do not believe every spirit, but test, discern, examine, prove, inspect, approve, take stock of, carefully, intuitively scrutinize, search into, and interrogate with deliberate dominance of your spirit. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. You can't do this with your mind. This is not a mental or human ability, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. John 8, verse 15, it reads this way. This is out of the Amplified New Testament. You set yourselves up to judge according to the flesh, but by what you see, you condemn by external human standards and mental emotional reasonings. I do not set myself up to judge or condemn or sentence anyone. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. My decision is right, for I am not alone in making it, but there are two of us, I and the Father within me, who's alive in me, that has sent me. Now let's go to John 5:30. Jesus is saying again, he's teaching the way he lived before God, the way he walked in the Spirit. He says, I am able to do nothing from the origins of myself, from my soul, from my mind or my emotions. I'm not permitted to act independently from my own self-life. But as I am taught by God's Spirit, And as I get His orders, I decide as He bids me to decide. As the voice of God comes to me, I then give a decision that is His decision. Even as I hear His voice, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I have not consulted my mind, my intellect, my reasoning, my emotions, my feeling, or my will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself because I do not seek to consult my will. But my aim, my purpose, my determined aim is only to do the will and the pleasure of the Father who has sent me.